Hey, comedian Adam Newman here, letting you know about Pussy Boys, a brand new podcast I co-host with my funny friends where real men talk about their love of cats. So tune into Pussy Boys on the Seltzer Kings Network and like, listen, subscribe, write us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. That's Pussy Boys, all Z's. Trust me, you don't want to go where the S's take you. It's gross.
Welcome to another episode of The Adventures of Danny and Mike, wherein the fellas discuss Ariana Gundam, being on the rail, and rolling a natural 20, with special guest Jake Paik. Now play the music, Yugi. The New York football Giants were won in a poker game.
Wait, that can't be real.
They were won in a poker game in like 1920. I think they were starting 25. Yeah.
The Mara family won the Giants on a poker game.
Charlie something and Mara were partners.
Charlie Chip and you know, Jimmy Gamble.
Jimmy.
We're all hanging out with the Maras.
The original Jimmy G.
Yeah, the original Jimmy G.
Oh, you're talking about Richie Riskey's best friend, right?
Richie Riskey's best friend. Yeah, Jimmy Gamble's.
Parlay Bob.
And it was weird. His name was Jimmy Gamble, but everybody called him Gambles and pluralized
his
it.
His nickname was Sure Thing.
I don't know why.
Until he died.
Yeah, he did die. And he actually he died a terrible death.
He got run over
by 27 horses.
Not a 20-sided die. 20 yeah.
He even came out
but
in the pluses.
He was holding a 20-sided die when he got killed by the 27 horses.
He bet on his own death and made money.
Yeah. He cashed in. Paid for his funeral.
On the parlay, yeah.
Did pay for his funeral.
Got that casket upgrade. It was dope.
Well, speaking of the Giants and ownership... And what else were you talking about? I didn't catch a lot of that. Let's start the show. Welcome to the Adventures of Danny and Mike. To my right, Mr. Danny Tamborelli.
Wow, you really sure know how to come in there as a great on-air producer.
And to his right, Mr. Michael C. Marone.
Thanks, Segway King.
And our guest for the entire hour. You may know him from things like Yu-Gi-Oh!, Pokemon series, and Apollo's Tall Tales.
That is a thing that I do, and for anybody keeping track at home, it's Jake Paik.
Paik!
Jake Paik.
Gosh.
I thought we talked about this last time.
It went the same way.
Really?
No.
I'm pretty sure. Jake
I think
Paik.
You just changed it before you got in here.
You know, I
knew that your name rhymed.
You decided to
I
go in a different...
I know that your name rhymed.
So you thought maybe I didn't know my own first name. Like, it could have been Jack Paik.
Jack Paik.
Yeah, like,
Jack
maybe Paik. He's lying to us about his first name.
We do this all the time with the Van Wyck Expressway. Some people call it the Van Wyck. Some people call it
the Van Wyck.
The no great thing is that we can just have a moment of silence, and I can say, "Jake Paik." Oh, how do you say that? Paik?
You just did it right,
Jake Paik. Our special guest for the entire hour, Jake Paik.
Hey, thanks for having me.
See, and then like no one's ever gonna know except for the Patreon people who see the whole video.
Oh,
then they're gonna know I fucked it up. But I fuck them up all the time.
I'm really not angry right now.
We've been working together for
years.
When
we had Renee Zellweger on here, he really fucked that up.
It took us about 12 takes.
God. Tried to make her name rhyme as well.
Renee's Zellwegery.
Rewellwegers and Elweger.
The human head weighs.
I think he said Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem. Has she been in?
Yeah, she's been on the show. 3 times. She's the longest running guest.
I forgot about
Adele Dazeem.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's a good one.
Then, you have from the outside. Adele Dazeem, I assume.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So inspirational.
It's a frozen Adele. It's Adele Dazeem.
When is Adele going to come out with another album? Because I do not feel bad enough about myself right now.
Oh.
I'm feeling really good about myself.
You
so I
wait,
need
who
Adele
do you associate with
you
in Adele songs?
I need Adele
to come
up.
You think Adele is depressing?
Yeah, it's about like love going wrong. It's about like, pain. You know, pain.
Yeah, but
yeah, it's suffering.
Who do you relate to in the stories though? Are you the guy who's creating the pain?
Are you creating pain? Or are you
is that why
it?
Is this
no,
guilt?
Well, sometimes I'm hello and sometimes I'm the other side.
Yeah.
So okay.
We should definitely like first off, I think if listeners would want to share with us like the songs that make them the saddest.
Let us
be awesome.
Let us know.
You can call in and you can say that number right up there, Jake.
Oh heck yeah. 347-470-8150.
That's it.
The 8 looks a lot like a 5, folks. Just
going to be honest here, folks. The 8 looks like a 5.
It does.
One more time for everybody listening at home. That's 347-470-8150.
Tell us if you are the... Are you the
Adele or the outside?
Adele or the outside?
Are you the hello or are you the outside?
But for reals, are there... I think we all have this in our lives. Are there songs or artists that like you... Like if it comes on, you're just immediately like slumped over? Or sometimes you want to be sad and so you slump over?
Yes, the record... by Beck called Sea Change.
Oh, it's the best. What are you talking about?
That record I love it. But like if I'm in a bad place, like that it doesn't help, but it doesn't hurt.
Those very first chords that come in that first track.
That whole record just gets me in like such a weird mood that for me, that's like if I'm like, you know, if I want to stay in that depressed place but to also feel good.
Yeah,
that's my record.
Get housework done at the same time.
Oof.
I could tell you a
not
song.
Motivating, is it? It
well, except for Paper Tiger's motivating.
I was going to say a lot
Paper
of
Paper Tiger's the one on that record where it's like, just ooh, like okay, I could get through here. And then it's like halfway through that record, you're like.
Because a lot of it's kind of haunting, right? Oh, even the production. The production has like
which
a lot of room
his,
in it.
His father.
His father, yeah.
He does all the orchestration.
Wow. He only records in really big rooms, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes a ton of sense. Yeah, there's so much.
Did you see that Beck came? Sorry, Beck came out as not a Scientologist now.
Yes.
Hey, that's like a win, right?
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, nothing against.
Well, it's a win for everybody.
Actually,
he was too weird for Scientology and too cool for everyone else. So
I don't know. I think
he's free to be his own.
Exactly,
you know,
free agent.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
What's your record?
Oh gosh, I don't know the full answer, but the first thing I'll come to is motion picture soundtrack of Kid A. Yeah. The last track on that album, like there's no doubt. Like if you put that on, like I will probably just start crying. Like red wine, sleeping pills. You're like, God, it's giving me goosebumps right now. If you need like the sadness-o-meter, the sadness cue, like that's
that pushes your buttons
you right there.
Yeah, for sure.
That's wow,
cool. Michael,
I'm gonna guess that Jeremy is an Elliot Smith record.
Mike's like, I'm not going to tell you mine, but I'll tell you exactly
what
did
the handoff.
But you're wrong.
I did the handoff.
You're wrong because mine is, and I went to a funeral once, and this song was playing over and over in
Three
the fucking
Stacks
funeral.
On the Radio.
Nope. In the eyes of
Stop
an
it.
Angel.
So wait, it was a funeral for pets?
Me. No, that's ASPCA has been using that song, correct.
Did an Irish firefighter die and you didn't tell me?
I think it was like a grandfather or somebody. Somebody I knew, somebody I worked with,
I think. Somebody revered.
Old fella. Yeah.
As someone who's got Irish blood.
Sarah McLachlan.
Amazing Grace also will just do that.
I don't know that I have a total death sad album like that. But you guys kind of...
Any Magnetic Fields record could probably
that's fair.
Be helpful, too.
That's fair.
Talk about, like, drinking and being sad, then next thing you know, you're 33 songs deep into the 69 love songs, and you're very wasted.
Yeah. Is this it?
Yeah, I think that it's the last track, like track 10 or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
It's untitled, so you know that...
It's
really sad.
Yeah. They were so sad they couldn't come up with a title for it. Maybe for me, maybe The Mollusk by Ween.
Interesting.
Wow.
It's big mood.
Are there any, I don't know if I know that by heart, are there any lyrics or anything you can share?
Did you ever see a whale with a polka dot tail? Did you ever see a man with six fingers on his hand?
This makes me kind of happy, though.
Yeah, it's a little dreamy.
But is it just the music? Does the music conflict with kind of the tenor of the lyrics?
It varies throughout the record, but I just have these. I remember just when I would ride my bike and listen to music at the same time. I really don't like to listen to headphones while I ride my bike anymore. But when I did, I definitely listened to a lot of Ween.
Yeah,
just riding my bike around the city.
And there was happy times.
Well, no. I was depressed. Yeah, I was depressed going to work.
That's what I mean. I was like very
sad. Very
depressed, very sad.
I was this
very loud music.
This was what took it actually took it took Ween in the morning and then playing the rock star The Warriors video game at night. The PS2 video game where you get to brick people in the face. That was the only thing that helped.
That was your healing.
Sounds like my that's in a time. Tunnel. Wow. That's an alternate version she recorded in the
that was the free, that was the free one that we could use.
they actually recorded.
We asked Sarah McLachlan, yeah. And she's like, you can use this one. It's weird as fuck.
We recorded it in the kennel where we found the dogs mistreated. That's why it's so roomy. Yeah.
She's like, who are y'all? This is the version you can have.
This is the one you can have. This one goes out to Mr. Pibb and Kibbles.
Right. No, Mr. One Ear.
I do. I mean, Jeremy. Oh, what do we got here? Oh.
Oh, no, that one's up.
Do that first track. Let's hear that very first.
We're not going to be able to release this.
Yeah.
Like, no, we can't.
No, this is a great
seconds,
song.
And it's also fair use.
Fair use.
This sets the tone.
I'm a
of the
musician.
Whole
I'm
album.
In the union. We can play whatever music you want. I'll talk
Danny,
about.
I was thinking about doing an album of surf covers. This is kind of apropos of nothing.
Oh, it could be in your kid shows. You could do a surf version instead of a Weezer version. Danny recently did a show at the Brooklyn Bowl.
Bowlery.
For kids.
Oh, wow.
It
so you cleaned
rock,
it up?
A rock and roll playhouse. No, we played.
So
we,
I cleaned
we,
it up.
No, we
yeah,
didn't
he
really
out,
clean it up.
He took out all the ethnic
we
songs.
Just we didn't play Tired of Sex. We didn't do that.
They didn't cover the Who's Young Man's Blues.
We did play. I mean, we played most of the Blue album, and there are some questionable lyrics throughout there. We also played Hashpipe, but I changed it to Nightlight.
Oh. Nice. I was going to say, I don't know if you're covering like Dead Kennedys or
no. You and
or...
you can. Well, that's the whole thing. Is like they do this thing called Rock and Roll Playhouse, where it's basically like a chance for like parents to spend 2 hours eating and drinking a little bit while their kids are preoccupied by people.
I did that with the Dead Kennedys, and it was kiss, 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 kiss the poor.
Oh!
Kiss, 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 kiss the
yeah,
poor.
Yeah, and it was a holiday in California.
You know it. Yeah, much
don't
nicer.
Don't forget to pay your rent.
Claiming that you know. No, not even.
But so anyway, how was it? Did it crush?
It was great.
Oh
no, it was fun. No, it was a good. It was a very good time. Yeah, I don't. You wanted to do a surf rock version of what?
Oh, I have a whole bunch of covers that I want to do.
We had an idea to do something for a class. The Ninja Clash. What the fuck was it?
Shinobi Ninja.
No.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, because Macaulay Culkin had the Velvet Underground pizza mashup, and we wanted to do
The Clash.
Like a Ninja
what? The Clash
Knish?
No, it was a Clash Knish.
It was not Knish.
Yeah, it was
the Polish.
Very specific.
It was Sandinista. It was Sandinista Knish. I remember that. That was what our concept was.
Know, people seem hesitant to agree with you. I don't know.
I don't think that's
if I were
accurate.
An arbiter, it'd be hard for me
okay,
to
Okay, here you go. Here's the songs.
For anybody listening at home, Mike is handing Danny a cell phone with things
for
written
the listener.
On it.
It's written in the notes app, so I'm not famous enough for it,
it
to be an apology.
Right. Yesterday is Here by Tom Waits. That would be a fun surf cover. Winter Lady by Leonard Cohen would be an amazing surf cover.
There's one that knocks me out always. Oh, yeah. The soundtrack to McCabe and Mrs. Miller, which is a lot of Leonard Cohen songs. Yeah. That's a sad fucking album, man.
Beginning to See the Light, I could take it or leave. I Am a Scientist by Guided by Voices would be very
but
good.
I'm saying there was all of these in surf versions.
Yes.
Yeah.
We Got to Get Out of This Place by The Animals in a surf version would be very cool. And Sunny Afternoon by The Kinks. This is a solid list, I will say.
Fun explorations.
And Danny charges $150 a song, so I'm fundraising right now.
I do charge
on
$150
our GoFundMe.
A song.
Yeah.
Jay, do you play an instrument?
Not well.
What he's got a voice. He's got a voice that's his. That is.
I did. Yeah, well, I mean, thank you for saying that about my voice. I'm in 2020. I'm learning how to take compliments and not negate
gracefully.
That.
You know what? It was actually really beautiful. You only got a little red in the face.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to contradict you and say you were wrong, but I didn't. I didn't. So it's a huge win.
He's smiling through his own, biting his own tongue.
Yeah, halfway through the month of January, and you're doing great.
Thank
you
so much.
Let's check back in May.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what I'm doing. But so I did. I'm a person who dabbled in the band world for a while. I had,
cool.
Yeah, like and I wrote, man, every year or two, I'll like look back at the songs that I wrote and I'll be like, oh my gosh, that's right. I did write like 40 songs and I recorded a bunch of them. And I have a couple EPs that I got produced fairly well with a buddy of mine who like was super into music production and had bands and stuff like that. But at that time, long story short, I was writing it all on piano, but I don't. Like, I know all the notes on a piano, but I never had piano lessons or anything like that. So even when we did small live stuff, I would play on piano.
Note number 73. Note number 74.
I wasn't far away from it. Like, I know that it's like a C, you know what I mean? But, like, let me tell you, if I got a little flustered or I had a couple beverages, the piano was not my friend. But so I wrote it all
some clashing
on the piano.
Notes.
Boston. Wisconsin, San Fran. Where were you? Mm-hmm. Where were you plying your trade?
Oh gosh, again, plying my trade. That's an exaggeration, but it was actually when I was in college, which is the bursting metropolis of Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
Ooh.
But you had a safe space to tickle the ivories. Then you sort of like a place to make mistakes and try and
hell yeah,
try again.
And it was great. I mean, I did it for years. Like, even when I came out to New York, I was still writing a ton of music and like still produced, like self-produced EPs. I loved doing it. Don't get me wrong. If you ever find any of my music, you might be like, this sounds like garbage. But I had a great time doing it. And
I think
some of the songs are still pretty
important.
Good.
Do you have a MySpace for it?
Yes.
Who knows? That is the bar.
Now, let's see. Who knows if I eradicated it? But my band was called The World's Fair, the double entendre of...
For the listener.
The World's Fair.
First fact check of the episode.
Yeah. Wait. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. You know... We didn't tell him how this goes.
What's the band name again?
The World's Fair.
You don't know how to pronounce my name, you know?
Yeah.
It's possessive.
No, hey, look.
Hey, just, still up there.
Oh, it's terrifying. Oh, my gosh. Things are going to go so poorly.
They're not going poorly at all.
You know what? I've already shared too much. This shouldn't have gone like
you
this.
We could make it a half hour if you want. Give us a little bit, and we give you a whole lot. Yeah, we just...
Thanks so much for tuning in. Hopefully, I'm able to join again.
We just extended the podcast for another 95 minutes.
Oh, boy.
We've been able to get some last-minute emergency funding from an anonymous donor.
That's right. Dial 347-470-8150.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to be fired after this.
No, Jake, that is good.
Hey, you want to do this once a week? We know a really great place called Seltzer King Studios. We just got to pay them $150. It's not a
big deal.
That's
a steal.
That's not the right rate either.
Oh, is it? No.
That's why it's a steal.
$750,000.
That's why it's a steal.
Same as a steal.
A deal at any price.
All I'll say is that the studio conditions are fantastic. The mics are popping. The production is great.
It's 86 degrees in here by the old thermometer.
It doesn't feel like 86 in here, though.
No, it's a dry
sweatshirt because I thought it was going to get steamy, but that was mostly about just like the kind of animal tension we have
between the four of us. I think so.
I thought the subject matter, but that too.
Oh, yeah.
For the listener, we met over the summer in Connecticut and became very close friends.
You became neighbors.
Jake and I became neighbors. We run into
you were already neighbors, but
a
then...
few times in Brooklyn.
Yeah, we went
at
to the
garden.
Danny has a favorite laundromat, but that's over here. That's not in Crown Heights, right?
I haven't been going recently because I don't have enough time to get all the way over here. I am. I'm for 3 years. I'm that much of a crazy person that I would take my car and I drive to my old neighborhood to go do laundry in the laundromat across the street from my old apartment.
Think about his carbon footprint, bro.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm actually in his camp. Like, if I find, like, if something rubs me the wrong way at a certain place, and there's a place like haircuts for haircuts. Like, if I can't find the person,
understandable,
who I can, like,
sure.
The person in the place where I can feel safe and comfortable, and I know the system, like, I'll go out of the way. I'll keep going back there.
Geraldine and Maria picked up and just moved across the street. It's great.
Who's Geraldine and Maria? Can we get some context? My barbers. Hey, look.
Jake understands.
You have to ask Mike sometimes for context with these names.
I'm horrible at transitions. Mike's horrible at giving context. Danny, what's your...
I'm just a horrible person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you can't pronounce names either.
Bad person.
Well, that's part of the intro.
Bad person.
Yeah.
I do the same thing. I also get my hair cut in my old neighborhood, too.
Yeah.
I tried to just play your band and it won't play on MySpace. I guess MySpace is broke finally.
It's the FLAC. it's the FLAC.
Today
you need
the
lossless version.
Yeah.
Get the lossless
version. No, just tell me what track you were playing. I'll just do it for you.
Just do it. Yeah.
I've got them all memorized.
Can you transpose from piano to guitar? Because that's all we have here.
Good God, no.
Oh, no, I got a little MIDI. We could do MIDI. Take a minute.
That was my biggest thing. Like, I love the guitar sound, and I always wish that I had learned guitar to write on guitar. And so, like, most of my the people that I loved to work with musically, like, I'd gravitated towards a lot of guitarists.
Jake, do you have 20 minutes a day? This is a real question.
Dan Smith can teach you how to play guitar.
Fuck Dan Smith. Danny T
yeah.
can teach you how to play guitar.
Well, and he needs income. So
no, I don't need it. I would do it.
150 everything.
I would do it for free. I would do it for free once a month if he promises to practice 20 minutes a day.
Wow.
First off, that's an incredible offer.
Incredible.
And what I would say in your answer, to answer your question about the time.
Can I just do 140 minutes once a week?
Yeah. Can we compress that? No. I'd say, like, I would need to make that. I know that time is about what you make your priorities. You know what I mean? So, like, I can absolutely find 20 minutes. Would you say a day?
Takes 20 minutes a day.
I can handle that.
20 minutes a day for a month, and then your fingers start to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Because the first month it's tough, and that's when people can't handle it because
I'm so tired of walking on these.
Your fingers are doing things that they're not used to doing, and it's not.
Yeah, no
doesn't
shit.
Feel good. It's not fun.
Even when I dabble, no doubt. And of course, this is.
Oh, you dabble in No Doubt? That's your.
Yeah.
That's
Gwen
your jam.
I,
yeah.
Do you do that on Sunday mornings? That's cool.
Don't speak.
No, I mean, anybody who's ever played a guitar is like listening to me talk about this, being like, "My God, you're telling me that your fingers hurt after you played for 20 minutes."
My fingers hurt. Yeah. It's
so
true.
They how don't. Do I make them not hurt? Yeah, but what I'll say.
The answer is icy playing. Hot lidocaine.
Oh. No, that's not the. Yeah. Is that the answer?
That doesn't work.
No, you just like, keep playing. That's
yeah,
the, I feel
exactly. Like, yeah. That's yeah. What I know the answer is. Like,
yeah, I used
than...
to have calluses on all my hands, but
no
now
doubt.
I don't play guitar anymore.
How many hands?
How many hands do you have?
Four.
Yeah, four.
Yeah, top and bottom.
You were saying, Jake,
foot hands.
It probably wasn't important.
Hand.
No, you're saying that your hands.
Oh, anywho, yeah, I just wanted to say that I completely understand that the dedication to it is so essential because the times that I've dabbled, I do have a decent reach in my hand span, mm-hmm. but I also have thicker fingers. So, you know, some of sure. the fretwork is a little delicate and my my meat hooks struggle.
I got meat hooks too, man.
Yeah, that's
you
what
make
I'm
it work.
I'm making no excuses. I
no, take up the bass like he did.
Well, I play, guitar as well, but I am a bass player by trade.
He's a bass man.
The bass man gets the good looking girl's best friend.
I can tell.
You can tell. I know. That's true. And I don't think anyone's ever gotten that wrong when they're like, oh, you play in a band? What do you play? I'm like, what do you think I play? And everyone's like, bass.
Yeah.
And the chubby fucking guy in the back.
He doesn't have a
playing bass. Like, oh, I guess everybody's seen the Goo Goo Dolls videos.
He doesn't own a van, so he couldn't play drums.
Drums. Right. Exactly. Right. They're like, you own a van? Like, can I ask you about your car? And you're like, no car questions.
No personal charisma. So he
Volkswagen
couldn't be
Jetta. You must be a bass player.
Exactly. Like, can you smile for me? Nope. Not gonna smile.
Oh, man.
I do want to shout out to my lovely girlfriend, Marla, for making these really delicious fruity vodka seltzer drinks. Shout out to Marla.
Absolutely.
To change the subject.
This fruity vodka seltzer break brought to you by Marla Brand Beverages.
Mm-hmm. Marla's brand.
If you have a question or a comment about Marla's drink-making abilities, you can let us know at 347-
Drink-making abilities?
47081.
Also, I want to... We saw you in Connecticut.
That's correct. For anybody that doesn't know, we met in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I was told Hartford. When I saw you all earlier, I guessed Bridgeport. I was wrong. I didn't know where we were.
Maybe next year, man.
But, yeah, Bridgeport.
Bridgeport's is a common prayer.
Bridgeport's on the Sound.
Okay.
And Hartford is all off the river.
What
makes any sense to you?
The
Connecticut River.
Okay.
Hartford.
It's a handy mnemonic device.
Bridgeport is
on the sound.
Hartford's on the river.
Yeah, Hartford's on the river.
Drop your wallet and I'll give you a skiver.
Hartford's on the river.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only time I'll give the Doors anything on this show because I hate them.
Have we dug into that before? Have
Oh, yeah. Tons.
Okay, then we don't need to.
It's okay. I just don't. I think Morrison was full of shit. I don't believe it.
Across the board.
Across the board. I also think Ray Manzarek was full of shit, too.
Wow.
But John Densmore...
They can't fight
and
back
Robbie
because
Krieger.
They're dead.
John Densmore. That's
cheap
right.
Shots.
Yeah, look, that's the thing. The only two surviving members of the Doors were the coolest parts anyway, and they're still doing their thing.
They must have finished their vegetables.
Robbie Krieger just played in Los Angeles not like, I don't know, a couple days ago and had who the fuck was it? I can't remember who it was. It was some big celebrity actor like singing Jim Morrison and like yeah.
John Goodman?
Wow, was it John? Are they still doing Doors tracks then? Yes.
I'm sure. Robbie Krieger was there playing his guitar like note for note. Like if you tuned everyone else out and you're just focusing in on guitar, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
But everything else was just like
My son is obsessed with organs. Like I got him listening to 60s music, so he's into the organs. And so
Moog action.
I was like, not yet. I was really into the Vox organs of the 60s. And I played a little I took a little video of him watching a music video for my buddy, whatever he's watching the House of the Rising Sun or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And my buddy comes back. He's like, yeah, gotta get him into the Doors now. Mm. And I texted back, no offense, but I'd like to, you know, delay that as long as possible.
You want to protect him. You're trying to protect him.
I think I might have used the word protect.
Yeah. Start with Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
No offense. But his response
was... That guy's throwing knives into his organ to make sounds. That's what he was doing.
For real?
He really enjoys it.
Yeah, Keith Emerson at times live on stage would like throw stuff into his big organ and be like, it would be like, it would make weird noises. I don't know if it was real or not, but like he was doing it.
Yeah, who cares? The theater of it's great.
Who cares? Yeah. I saw Emerson, Lake and Palmer when I was 16 years old.
Yeah, what was the Beacon Theater budget?
At the Beacon Theater with my parents. And at that point, I had already been smoking weed. And
Humble brag.
That evening, he had already been smoking weed.
No, I wasn't. No, because I was with my parents and I wasn't able smoking. I was 16 years old. No, they certainly didn't smoke weed. And there was a woman, we were like our back, we were like the last row. So like our backs were to like the end of the Beacon Theater. And there was a woman in front of us who was like totally like just, she was just having fun.
Noodly, probably high.
She was like feeling every fucking note that Keith Emerson played and was like, her hair was all crazy and she was going nuts. My parents were using her as like a
Don't do drugs, Danny. Don't do drugs,
Danny. In the back of my head, I was like, Dad, drugs, I've already seen like I've already seen Fish like 10 times. Like, this is tame. Like, this she needs more. Like, she needs to take more acid now.
Like, I will say, like, so when I'm at a show where there are some folks under the influence, like, and I'm maybe not at that level, I do sometimes struggle.
I like, drink their blood to get there.
Everybody creeps out of the room. The room is
backs out.
Like, also just sound effects like
it's much cheaper than buying your own drugs.
Yeah, so I could transition to that, I suppose, or like just a syringe.
What were you?
Yeah, what,
who knows?
No,
because Mike did the thing about drinking blood.
I want to know what you have to say, Mike.
Mike, calm down, Mike. Jesus Christ.
No, I love it.
Hey, you'll scab up. Don't worry.
No, I'll say like when if somebody like is getting kind of like leany or like touching or handsy and you're like not quite there, like I don't know, sometimes I like I'm like I don't quite know how to handle
how do
like,
I enjoy this experience on without, the same like, level
like,
yeah.
Yeah, or like not be weird like, hey, I'm sorry, like I'm not quite there.
So I hit myself on the head with a hammer real quick to
catch up with them. It's a smile and like turn away.
Yeah.
Smile, turn away.
Oh, somebody's calling.
God. Yeah, I'm at a concert right now. Yeah. Oh, it's awesome.
I like drift slowly away. But then I feel like a, you know, I could feel like a stiff. Like people are like, what? You're not okay.
Loosen up, bro. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Your body weight is on me. I feel very strange.
I just came here to enjoy the music.
If you're sitting in seats, that's problematic. If you're on the floor and it's standing room only, then you're fucked.
Then you're part of it. Yeah, you're
right. Then you're part of it.
You didn't break.
It's a contract. If you're on the floor and
if you're on the floor, that's it.
Bro, you got to bring PC at that point, just wherever you go.
PCP?
No, personal cardboard.
Oh, personal cardboard.
No, it's key for standing room show. So then you just, it's on either side, and then you're not touching anything, personal cardboard.
It's like a Doctor Who.
Danielson wanted to be invisible at the dance.
My friend's little brother took me to go see Rancid at their festival called the Black and Blue.
And you'd already been smoking weed, so.
I mean, no, I'm like,
my parents.
No, I'm like, I'm 32 years old at this point, and he knew that I was a big Rancid fan, and like, so we went to the show, and he was like getting me all hyped up, like, we gotta go, like, we got, like, the other band's done, like, Rancid's going, we gotta get right up front. Last time I saw Rancid with this kid, we were at Irving Plaza and we were on the rail.
And we got kicked.
The whole time. And it was one of the most fun shows ever. I was in like my mid-20s. He was like 19 years old. And he was like, it was like a fun experience because my best friend was not into this music, but his little brother was. So he and I had shared this like connection, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, we got to go to the show, blah, blah, blah. So it was at Webster Hall. And I'm like, dude, I'm fucking 32 years old. Like, there's a bunch of kids here. It's like hardcore bands.
I don't want to get elbowed in the
hardcore
fucking
bands
head.
Before fucking Rancid. Like, I'm not. No, I'm gonna sit by the bar. I'm gonna have a couple drinks. I'm gonna enjoy the show. He runs off by himself, and then I'm like standing there, like
feeling like a jerk.
I'm like, oh, fine.
I'm getting in there.
Yeah.
Get on.
Oh,
up.
You got in?
I went right up to the front with him. We're like, I'm like two people behind the rail. Show's great. Having a lot of fun. Some fucking young kid jumps up on stage, runs around, does a front fucking flip into the crowd.
No.
I go to like, oh shit, he's coming at me. His fucking Converse goes between my hands.
No!
Hits me in the face. Knocks me down. I'm seeing stars.
Aren't you
I'm
glad like, it wasn't Doc Martens?
I'm like, God damn. Yeah, thank God it was. Yeah, it was like,
God,
nice
it wasn't
soft
Doc Martens.
Cons.
Yeah.
nose is like a little bloody. I'm like,
yeah,
fuck. Broken. Like, I think I might have just broken my nose. I'm fucking old.
And,
show.
And
fucking
I'm
man. Still right up front.
And I'm kissing my friend's little brother, yeah. And I don't know why.
How did looking, we get here?
He how do we? Why are we here? I don't even know anything about you.
Dude, he looked at me like, what
I'm not
the
even
fuck?
Into blondes.
And I was just kind of like, dipped out to the side, got all the way over, like standing my back against the wall, like, fuck, gotta make sure. Fine. No, I can just maintain and just watching all these people just like,
everything's
you know,
sure.
Yeah, everything's yeah. Cool. Just wheezing through my nose a little bit.
No, I'm the same way. Like, I'm always a person who makes the wrong decision about their own. Like, you know, I'd be like, oh, I should probably stay on the side. No, I'll get in there. Like, I think a couple years ago.
My friends are 10 rows up. Let me just make my, I'm making my way over there. I understand.
Or they're like, come on up. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm on my way. And they never
see
you.
Yeah, you never see him again. Yeah, you're like, how was the show?
I was next to you the whole time.
We could switch out. You could go down a little. I can go down a little.
I'll come in later.
It never happens.
A buddy of mine, I think just a couple years ago, it was like the case in point for the same experience. He was going to see Avenged Sevenfold. I knew he was going. I was like, cool, man, have an awesome time. And he felt the exact same way. He's like, I don't know if I should get in the pit for this. I don't know. Then he got there, probably had a couple drinks. And he's like, fuck it. And got in there and was having a good time. And I think he had been in the pit for like 3 minutes. And he got like, something happened, probably got shoved too hard, hit the ground. But like came down on his arm, broke his collarbone, like immediately had to get out. And like, I think he stayed the rest of the show like off on the sidelines, but had to go to the hospital.
Man.
Dancing while holding the ends of the bone together.
Yeah,
because
your limp arm.
It is the most painful break.
This is the most expensive $30 concert I've ever been to because I didn't have insurance.
The copay. Yeah, you need to make the copay after that and your deductible.
Fuck.
I remember being so excited about going to shows like that as a kid. Like,
that's
all I would do for five summers, it's all I would do is go from show to show to show to show with my buddy Travis from Ohio. Good old Ohio
shout
shows.
Shout out, Travis.
Yeah. But yeah, I do miss it but I did the same thing. I went to a show and I was like in the mix and I was like right on the border of I should be here and I should not be here. I was like, yeah, man, I'm still cool. And it just fucking killed me. I was the next day I could feel it. And you know, that's the sign
Scoots.
Of being old. Yeah.
Scoots.
Pre-scoots.
Ariana Grande stuff. Like, I feel the same way.
on the rail, you mean? Yeah, as Danny says?
Way too old. I feel too old.
Should say really quickly, major respect to Ariana Grande, but I do not attend those shows with frequency.
But when you do.
But when I do, and I'm up against the
rails.
You
are right up against the rails.
Pushing people out of the way.
I'm up front
trying to start the mosh.
Funny, because Jake works for, you know, Madison Square Garden on the weekends doing security.
Yeah, that's
why you're on the rail.
They all know each other.
You know what's funny is actually, now that I think of Ariana Grande, she and I actually worked on one of the same properties. She was on Winx Club, and I'm on Winx Club. I think it was quite a ways back in the day for her, like probably when she was on the Ascension. But that is funny.
This was actor Ariana Grande, not musician.
Yeah.
She saw you on the plateau.
yeah. Her
Mike
rocket
and
ship
I are colleagues.
Was passing my wagon.
Mike and I are colleagues. With her too, because she was on Nickelodeon, but we were on Nickelodeon first.
Oh wow! So you kind of like set the table for her.
Yeah.
Has she thanked you?
No,
not specifically.
Ariana, if you're listening, 347-470-8150. Dial in, say hey to the team here. We'd love to chat with you.
Please call in.
Feel free to deliver any Ariana Grande thanks that you could solicit.
Yeah, could you if she wanted to? Would you be able to shoehorn her in here for a session?
Oh sure.
Actually, I think we could get her.
Yeah.
We have her best friend. We know her best friend. She's been in our Man Boob sketches. His name is, he used to be on a Disney show.
Is this real?
Yeah.
No, Matt Bennett.
Matt Bennett.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, former.
Matt Bennett.
Is it Nickelodeon or Disney?
No, it was Nickelodeon. Okay. No fucking Disney.
He was
get that out of here. Actually, a bunch of my shows aren't Disney.
Oh, sorry.
Love
you
the rat. Love the rat.
It's okay. I was on, it's okay. I was in the Mighty Ducks. That's also Disney.
It's like I don't even know you.
Oh, you're on the rail?
Was that?
Get back on the rail.
Yeah.
Took me a long time to get back on the rail.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Okay, a little pleasure I had recently, and I didn't want to admit it because it seemed like the cheesiest thing, was watching this show called Good Girls on Netflix, which is about Retta and Christina Hendricks and one other woman.
Does it have a devil's tail in the title?
Maybe.
Good Girls with the...
No, it's just... not Good Girls Club. It's not...
That. Oh, okay. Because I know.
No,
that,
it's
yeah.
just about them like being suburban, like life of crime women. And I just enjoyed it. And I didn't know if I should. I thought it might be a guilty pleasure. But fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying watching it.
It's hard for me to believe that you people believe in guilty pleasures. There's just pleasures. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
like...
No. I have guilt over time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, eventually. Okay.
Mine is
not at the time.
A brand new, and Mike was here when it was playing. Project Blue Book,
Blue Book,
History
I don't know
Channel.
What the fuck that is
Blue Book,
Blue Book, yeah. History
it's,
Channel.
It's about the work that went into the first comics pricing guide.
Is this real?
No, it's
oh,
about
God,
a- aliens.
What the
fuck?
That's actually a great idea.
Yeah, oh my God.
That's a $1 billion idea. Pull it down.
What the fuck is Project Blue Book?
I mean, it's an alien show. It's
I'm also in. Still
it's,
in on that.
It's they're apparently during.
Why is that a guilty pleasure?
Yeah,
that's what I keep coming back to. Yeah,
no, well, no,
I mean,
proud.
I like what you're saying.
Embrace your pleasures.
There's a couple Nickelback songs I like.
Okay, that will get you kicked out.
Wow. Like,
wow, everybody just turned on Jake so fast.
But I know that it's the.
Stay tuned for the latest 10-minute episode from Jake Paik.
Look at this photograph. Jake Paik's gotta leave real fast.
Right now.
He pissed everyone off.
That's what I was saying. That's the defining line for guilty pleasures. You know what I mean? Mm.
Sure.
So
sure.
I'm too old.
Sure.
I'm too old for Nickelback.
Chad Kroeger.
So I have to say Silverchair.
Oh, dude, see? I love so.
Wait,
I, that's
why
what
is
I,
that a guilty pleasure?
Yeah, that's
oh.
one of my favorite bands
oh, no, it's
ever.
Not, oh, it's not a pleasure. I'm just thinking of an old band with the same amount
weird,
of syllables.
And this will be a fun game. Bands with the same, with two syllables. Great, here we go.
Silverchair.
Rolling
oh,
Stones.
Fuck you, Mike.
Yeah, fuck you, Mike.
Oh.
I love Silverchair. No, I'll stand by it.
Nickelback
stand by
is three.
It.
No,
Silverchair.
Nickelback. Yeah, we're on.
Okay.
Yeah. People are watching us count syllables.
If you think that they should have less syllables, let us know at 347-470-8150.
Or if you like Project Blue Book, call it 347-470-8150.
Why?
Because I want to talk to them.
And
I want to talk about
and
it.
And if you like
so
some
lonely.
Smash Mouth songs, who fucking cares?
Yo, fuck you, man.
You might as well be walking on the sun at that point.
Smash Mouth has been telling us about global warming and environmental shit for 25 years, and we weren't fucking listening.
Was thinking that if we all just had mobile suit Gundams, this would not be a problem.
I'm glad you asked.
Because we could just get in our suits and go to another space system where...
Hence Project
is this
Blue
a
Book.
Thing? What is this? What are you talking about?
Well, we're still talking about mechs, a Gundam. Yeah, you're talking about Gundam.
You know what Gundam
is? I don't know what that is.
Well, you remember like Robotech, right?
Yes,
you
Robotech.
You remember Robotech?
Yes.
They had like, there was like kind of, I'm the robot, I'm the plane, I'm something in between. They had all these different forms. So a Gundam was just like a kind of a super... awesome robot, and it would be
Gundam style.
Yeah, well, you could just
I'll get up.
You could probably store. You could probably store a lot of people in the Gundams while you were waiting for the atmosphere to clear up again.
The Gundam, I mean, a Gundam has like a cockpit for one.
One.
I mean, yeah,
but so you could hollow out the leg.
Yeah, there might be room for folks in there for sure. For sure. I mean,
you're
it's
right.
not like this is, you know, Pac Rim where they've got like the like multiple people in the cockpit.
I haven't seen either. Was there two Pacific Rims?
There
right,
were.
There were. I feel like that's the type of thing where you guys,
Danny and Jeremy, if you all want to take off,
yes,
you got okay. So Jeremy,
does anybody here have a 20-sided die to let me know if I should leave or not?
Jeremy, you watch Pacific Rim. You watch Pacific Rim 1. Danny, you watch Pacific Rim 2, and then
loop back with us.
Yeah, and then we'll see what we can do for the sequel.
We could just talk about aliens. I'm into
Mike, though, I do want you to get an opportunity to close the loop on your like how Gundam could help us overcome climate change.
I love that Jake is like on point. Like, let's get back to what you're saying.
Back to the lecture at hand.
Because when you think about all the worlds that they come from, in Mobile Suit Gundam, you feel like there's sort of this definite like Nazi allegory for the evil invaders and stuff like that. So it's people are defending their home planets. But I think it would kind of be just as smart. Well, they're very good fighting robots. If they were better at just like leaving robots, you know what I mean? Like a sort of diffused, like
if
the Patrick
cargo ship.
Yeah, or the Patrick Ewing robot that just came in when people were fighting and did choose to diffuse, where he put his hand on the flame.
You know, that's
you don't remember that PSA, choose to diffuse?
No. Was that like during the weed era, or this was War on Drugs?
No, this was like early 90s.
I'm watching you,
this
Patrick
was the 90s.
Ewing.
I've worked on a couple Gundam series. I have absolutely no clout whatsoever. But what I'll do is I'll put in a word and see if we can get some content about like Peace Gundam or climate helping Gundam.
I think a resolution Gundam would be really good.
What about anti-disestablishmentarianism Gundam.
I know that kind of be like a shadow Gundam if the, you know, with the party out of power.
So on our to-do list is contact Ariana Grande.
Ariana Gundam.
Ariana Gundam. There you go.
He's got it all. He's really got it all.
I'm impressed.
It was bound to happen sooner or later, Dan. Also,
probably my first introduction to that whole sort of concept would probably be Voltron, probably Voltron's Robotech, so maybe like a year before Voltron. But then you also had the idea. I was like, what if those people fell out of those cockpits at any point?
Oh, I think they do, and they die in space. Yeah.
I'm saying
just
because
of humans.
Yeah, you punch each other right in the chest, and then the cockpit busts and
explodes. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a lot of great content there, man. If Danny and Jeremy need to catch up on, there's multiple seasons of Voltron.
I'm a fan of old school Voltron. I was watching that as a kid, for sure. And I had a bunch of those action figures.
Was Pidge your favorite? Because I liked Pidge.
Pidge was cool.
The green one? Am I wrong?
Which one was the lion one?
Now it's like that's like an exam.
trick
have
question.
You seen any of the new Voltron on Netflix?
No.
I would suggest fire it up. Yeah. It's very enjoyable, and the animation's very cool. You know, obviously because it's such a heralded property, there's people on both sides.
There's expectations, sure.
Yeah, and people are like, don't change my thing. And people who are like,
do it. Yeah.
But, something for us. Something for our generation.
It's like Gamergate, but anime gate instead of people are on either side.
It's nothing. Okay, it's good. Nothing like that at all. Thanks. Delete that. Jake, what do you think when you're watching a program, how do you not critique voice work? Like as a voice actor, how do you take yourself out of it and just enjoy a program?
Ooh, gosh. It's tough. I think like you know, we're all in different facets of the industry.
We all
like,
watch cartoons, though. I'm just saying.
Yeah. But I mean, like, what I'd say is, like, any kind of artist, like, when you look at something, it's hard to step away from criticism. Like, going to a movie, like, I work really hard to just be like, I'm just going to enjoy this movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And not think about the processes that went into it.
Yeah. And it's hard not to. It always creeps in.
I think about the lighting sometimes
of
and the edit. You can't help but think about the editing while you're watching a film, unless it's so good, it's so subtle, you don't even notice it type of thing.
No doubt. And those are the times that I think it's like, you know, you tip your cap. You're like, great, I didn't think about it. Or I was wowed by it. You know, like, you know, my wife will, you know, every once in a while. Yeah, indeed. Thank you.
No.
Give me a little bit of a shush, like if we're watching something, especially in a theater. So I'd be like, the lighting. And she's like, You're saying that out loud. Honey, you're talking out loud.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I mean, like, especially Christopher Nolan stuff. So sometimes you see these, like, these wide shots in Nolan pieces that are like lit so
right,
well,
very big
so
tableau,
expensive
yeah.
and so crazy to control it. And you know, I'd just be like, my God, she's like, honey, you're talking out loud. but so to come back to what you're saying with anime, I guess, or animation stuff, like, I think I have a pretty healthy relationship with the successes and the job that other people do, because I think a lot of people in my industry are crazy talented. You know what I mean? Like, there are things that...
I would agree that they're crazy talented, but they're also crazy prolific. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It seems like you get a voice and then everybody wants that voice to be a different character. You know what I mean? That there can be big fish taking up a lot from little fishes.
Yeah, well, no doubt. I mean, a huge thing, too, again, if we're not getting too inside baseball, when it comes to the commercial world, too, there's a huge level of value apparently on the marketing side to known voices. That's why you've got people like, you know, Will Arnett, who voices so many brands. Everything. You know what I'm saying? Like
anything that involves like a drunken mistake.
Oh,
or a Ford truck.
But I'm saying like that's, yeah. but that's a character that he cultivated from,
Arrested Development
from Arrested Development into Pojack is like this sort of like, slightly pickled, you know, alcoholic.
Oh.
That's because, but I'm saying because that's the characters that he's built in his
oeuvre.
That's the characters he's built in his work of in live action. Mm-hmm. That voice, that character is more easily laid onto the characters that he plays, like Bojack, like, and then like you're saying in the commercial world.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. So like, you know, he's the voice, as you're saying, I think it's GMC. He's the voice
GMC.
Of Reese's. He's the voices like so many of these like huge brand properties. And there's
things that advertise during football. Go ahead.
I mean, it makes
just
sense.
Bro brands.
Bro brands. Oh, interesting. Yeah, it's a good point. I never thought about that. But to close the loop on what I was saying, like people like that, and like even like H. John Benjamin, who,
Arby's, the new Arby's guy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, from Aqua Teen Hunger Force and from Archer. And
home movies.
Yeah. Like, that's a voice, too, that, like, became permeated in our culture and we, like, knew from places and was, you know, across the board. And something about that awareness, you know, marketing and advertising realized that that's a commodity or an asset. And so, like, that does breed more work because people know that. They're like, I know that voice or I recognize that. And even if you can't pinpoint it, there's value in it. And I don't agree or disagree. I'm not like an advertising analyst, you know. But to your big fish, little fish thing, you are right. Like, you know, when it comes to like a union commercial for Reese's or something like that, like, understandably, Will Arnett is incredibly popular, has an amazing voice. Like, nobody's got his voice. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't ever. Yeah. Go in and
is already loaded up in that category.
But yeah, so that does it. Does
but there are
of,
a lot of brands that also decide to go. We're looking, you know, you go in for auditions for stuff, and it's like you read it, and they're like, "What they're looking for? Like,
we
we're
all
looking
know
for the Will Arnett style."
But
they're
we,
like, oh,
but we all
can't
know
pay for them
we, exactly.
We're going to handle you.
We all know that they don't want to pay
union scale.
We know that they don't want to pay Will Arnett bucks, but they want that quality voice. Right.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that's why you go to Fiverr.com.
And that's where Jake Paik comes in.
It is exactly. If you want like a mediocre Will Arnett,
Fiverr.com.
347-470-8150.
You're doing great with the plugs.
Yeah, crushing it. Don't at me at Jake Paik at Twitter, at JAKEPAQUE, because, you know, I will not respond there for your job offers.
PAQUE.
I was trying to look up how many voices he does, and it's the ones that are listed are CBS promos, GMC truck.
It just went to a link to Wilson Pickett's song, Land of a Thousand Voices.
That too. Lamisil, which, of course.
Are you serious? Lamisil?
Yep. The
bro
Gap.
Brand. Another bro brand.
Lamisil is what? Athlete's Foot, right?
AT&T, Hulu Plus, and the one that's Best Buy, and the one that surprises me the most, co-host for Woodstock 94 pay-per-view, Will Arnett.
Okay, this doesn't
I thought you were giving Jake's credits, you fuck.
No, we're talking about Will Arnett.
Who cares about Will Arnett? I'm talking
about
what
we're talking about.
This is the Will Arnett segment. We've got it on the board, Mike.
Yeah, it's
you knew we were talking about Will Arnett.
It was blocked out from 12:50 to 12:19.
Yeah, the Will block.
Woodstock, good Jesus. I it's a weird thing. I want to look it up now and see why he was the co-host for Woodstock 94 for the pay-per-view.
Sure,
he
sure
obviously lost a coin toss.
Yeah, something.
He rolled
happened.
The D20 in it.
You were
94.
It's time to tip the cap to our nerd friends. Jake came in here with kind of a interesting physical object. You want to explain a little bit about the 20-sided die?
Indeed.
And if, you know, we have Patreon viewers on these, so if you know, keep in mind you do have a camera there.
Fantastic. Yeah, so, you know, in the studio, as listeners and viewers probably know, there is a delightful shelf with a lot of accoutrement that, you know, there's a little lack of clarity on whether or not it's like a take a penny, leave a penny situation, whether guests are supposed to leave a gift or take a gift.
Lending library.
We're working this out. But I do carry a 20-sided die with me.
This gets you nerd credit in a lot of places. I hadn't thought about this before, but I think that there... He's already married, ladies, but there might be a girl whose heart is melted by the guy who carries a 20-sided die in his pocket.
Or a man. It's a person.
Literally.
Or
anybody.
Anybody.
I hope to be melting all the hearts.
You're melting the three of us in here.
Like we're puddles. Reese's Peanut Butter Cup ad, not
by Will Arnett.
Not voiced by it.
Yeah, so anywho.
Reese's.
It is, you know, for anybody that knows me, I can be a little twitchy. I can be a little neurotic. And, I didn't go the fidget spinner route.
They're hard to work.
Yeah.
Over 30, it's hard to work.
That's because of those sausage fingers of yours, Meat Hook.
Yeah, I think it's just that our brains are working differently than the kids.
Oh, they don't hear the same frequencies of sound, and they can't understand fidget spinners.
I've lost all those high end and low end frequencies from all those loud concerts.
The mosquito app for chasing off teenagers from the mall.
God.
That's what I hear. I hear the spin is in like hearing the I'm doing it right. I can't fucking hear that shit.
Yeah, what if I was like, I just couldn't figure out how they were.
I'd like my money back on this.
The imprint in your genes of a fidget spinner is just not a good look. I'm sure that's a little less bulky.
Oh, that would be so cool.
You know what I mean?
I love that idea, Jeremy.
Just like
the wallet outline fidget spinner.
But a 20-sided die and a guy wearing tight pants is like, do you have leg cancer?
Let me ask you all and the listeners.
Excuse me.
Oh, there's Danny. Danny's okay. We resuscitated him. We cut.
Have some vodka.
Yeah.
Clear.
Yeah. So I am a person. I'm a front pocket wallet person.
Wow. Ooh, never met one of those.
Bullshit.
In person.
Bullshit.
Who admitted it?
Let me see that wallet. Does it have a curve on one end?
You met me. I'm a front wallet guy.
Yeah, so too. Mike's fucking around. So front wallet pocket. Keys goes in that pocket. 20-sided die goes in that pocket. Recent addition. I've got one more thing going in that pocket. And so, yes, it gets bulbous. So you're right. Like, what do people do about this?
Gotta slow down. Yeah.
What do people do? How do you solve
for
this?
Get a fanny pack.
Flattener.
Okay, hold on. Let's take this one at a time. Let's start with you, Mike. What's a flattener?
So flattener is like a... do you remember how the slap bracelets were?
Definitely.
So it's made of that sort of thin stainless steel, and it just presents a smooth profile on your...
Or it could be like a rubber coin wallet type thing. And you just squeeze it and you throw all your shit in there.
Like a metal girdle for my left leg.
It's a flattener. Ugh. Anyway, Dan, what was your idea?
No, what was your shitty idea? It wasn't a shitty idea. It's an idea that's been around for a long time. It's called a fucking fanny pack.
And it's huge right now.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but
back.
It's huge to
it's
not be
back.
Worn on the fanny. That's the problem.
It's on the side. It's in the front.
It could be
people
slinging
it over the shoulder.
If you wear a fanny pack over your fanny, then you're just asking for people to steal it.
Yeah.
Stuff out of it.
Stuff out of it.
You know.
You don't get security zippers?
I mean, I'm desperately afraid.
Little tiny locks for the end of the zipper.
The luggage locks. The three combinations.
Just has one number that you have to roll to.
Remember the number.
Trying to get my D20. I think the number is 347-470-8115.
You are the best, Jake.
Bring Jake back
once
a week.
We're going to get so many fucked up voicemails now.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Go directly to any of us. Yeah.
It's going to make for several good episodes worth of fodder.
Yeah, please share anything. Share personal stories, fears, things you loathed or liked about the episode.
Favorite video game?
For me?
Yeah.
You
could start with System and then work your way.
Current or all time?
I'm just going to go with, good question. I'm just going to go with it to the top of my
head.
Yeah,
do it.
I'm a huge fan of the Resident Evil franchise.
Oh,
Resident Evil 4 is probably one of my favorite games.
Four.
But building from there, the Dead Space games are excellent. I love them.
On which platform?
I played
are you playing?
It on PS4.
Okay.
It's not dissimilar. They're like horror action games, but I dig that
suspense.
And, yeah.
Was there one like Mr. X is chasing you and you're always trying to get away? Oh, that's Resident Evil, right? There's like monsters. There's a virus.
And we've lost control.
No. Sorry, I was with you. Yes, virus and monsters. Yes, Mr. X. I lost you at Mr.
That's
X.
That's a different game.
Mr. X. back to Arrested
Mr.
Development.
Mr. X sounds like a, yeah.
We always had a friend that lived with Danny that we, I don't know if we've ever told the story, but maybe we shouldn't, but we had another friend who really wanted someone to watch him and a gal have sex. And so he decided to pick somebody out and call him Mr. X.
Yeah.
And that was the guy.
It was my fucking roommate.
That was the guy that was going to watch
who was
going
to be Mr. X.
Weird.
And it was very weird because we would all hang out sometimes, but
you wouldn't tell him. Did your buddy meet people
on
Craigslist?
He would never tell him, but then like afterwards he'd be like, oh yeah, Mr. X, he could watch me and my girl have sex.
What? This is a non sequitur. You have to start at the beginning again because I do not get...
Well, it's basically
we had
like
a friend who wanted someone to watch, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so he chose my roommate, but didn't tell him.
Yeah, yeah. So
just told us that that's the guy he wanted to watch.
Oh,
who's never
him
actualized.
And his girl having sex,
or a girl,
or
not even
girl.
His
not
girl,
even
yeah.
his girl, it, any girl.
But then didn't tell him about
no,
he wanted
never
this.
Never told him oh, about no. it.
Never.
But
came
it was
to
always behind the scenes, and you'd be like, "Oh, is Mr. X home?"
Oh yeah,
like,
classic audience. Weird. Yeah, man, I'd love to watch him watch.
Interesting.
Me.
Yeah.
I mean, can I dig in on this a little bit? Like, what qualities did that person have that made
beady penetrating eyes?
I don't know.
Great Mr. X.
I don't know.
He just had a calming vibe. I mean, so you know, you wouldn't like, you know,
no,
I have a question.
No, why did you need a calming vibe?
I have a
well,
question.
You know,
who watches
like,
the Watchmen?
Some people think about baseball.
Who watches the Watchmen?
Other people, you know, they might need a outside, you know, help to just like get
I think,
in the zone. You
I think
know what
Mr.
I mean?
X is the guy who kidnaps your girlfriend in Kung Fu.
Ooh.
You remember the Nintendo game Kung Fu where you just have to like kick your way this way and then punch your way back that way?
Yeah. That's most of those video games of that era. It's just either left or right, and you can't go left.
I believe
too far.
They're called platformers.
Platformers? Okay. Okay.
Not side scrollers. No. Don't confuse it. It's a platformer.
What's your favorite video game?
It was a side scroller. You're
Mike?
Right. Oh, gosh.
You're still on the PS 360, but.
Oh, that's tough.
PS 360?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's a thing.
The only games
Mike
for
has
it's
PS,
a combination. My, it's the only one that has it.
My favorite games for PS 360 would probably be Katamari Damacy.
Oh, wow. That's a deep
cut. I love all the Katamari games. They're so much fun.
It's a deep cut.
It was the last one that I did any dedication to besides. I still haven't fucked with Shadow of the Colossus, the remake, enough, which is like this crazy giant killing game. And then I got the prequel, which is called ECO.
I'm going to say Ninja Gaiden. Ninja Gaiden is my all-time.
Number one.
Yeah.
Number one.
All-time. And I have it in this box right here somewhere. This is all on my consoles that I'm gonna build what looks like a arcade system.
Emulator.
And up top is going to be the screen, like a regular arcade. And then down below is going to be shelves with all these consoles on it.
And which button do you press to call your mother to pick you up, to bring you home?
You push a button, and you play PS1. You push a button, you play Nintendo. You push a button, yeah.
Dude, my buddy Kurt... Ninja Gaiden, I once, you know, asked him a question like, if you thought you could Olympic medal at anything in the world, anything, what do you think it would be? He picked Ninja Gaidening. And especially, I think I think it was the first one.
Okay.
He was one of the folks that like played that with such intensity and frequency that like he could get through the whole thing without getting hit.
Wow.
Or close to it, or like not losing a life.
I have watched
so
his YouTube video.
Yeah. You and he would. There's synergy there, man.
But then, like modern games, you know, I play the shit out of like basketball games and football games, and like Madden's always going to be like one of my favorite video games.
Your
2Ks,
your NBA 2Ks, and things like that.
I used to be a 2K guy, now I'm a Live guy.
Oh,
yeah. Which I guess they don't make it this year.
Allegiance.
But yeah, it's super, super. I think it's better.
Yeah. How about you, Danny? Space Invaders?
Guys, what are these video games?
You're
going to
say GTA 5?
No,
it's my favorite.
Hey, actually, I mean, that's mobile.
That's up there.
Mobile is still crazy popular. It's like one of the most popular.
Has anybody played the new? Has anybody's ever played the new DLC?
I tried. I didn't see you on there.
What?
Well, I saw you saying things in a room with your family.
Whoa.
I went to the house, but I couldn't play any missions or anything.
Fuck you, man. No, the casino heist?
I could, I don't know.
I'm
There's
involved.
A lot of aggression here. Right
I'm
now. I
involved.
Can't tell people are fighting.
Unresolved.
Danny was a voice in GTA 5.
It rings a bell.
That's true.
I was a little shit kid.
Oh.
He was Jimmy.
It was typecasting.
Yeah. At Jeepers.
It was
the son of
Michael.
How
does it feel to get painted into that corner?
It was great.
Oh.
Well, you know what? The thing is, like, growing up playing video games and then being in one is pretty rad to, like, see how, you know,
absolutely
it all works and stuff.
Yeah.
You seeming to be someone who enjoys anime and enjoys
gaming.
No, just enjoy. Like,
you call
like,
me a nerd, Danny?
No, what I'm saying is you're in the business of something that you enjoy and how, you know, that affects the way you work. Like, it's fun.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's great to be involved in something that's like
a pyromaniac
you actually care about,
in special
you know?
Effects.
Yeah, I mean,
sure, maybe.
That's
true.
I mean, that's
true.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah. I mean, I do think about it. I'm a person who, oh gosh, this is going to sound very cliche, but I'm a person
doing
who practices
the epilogue music.
Okay. Just let him speak.
Do it.
I'm a person who practices a good amount of gratitude, and I don't for a second take for granted the fact that, like, I get to do the stuff that, like, I definitely dreamt about.
You
know, the fact that I get to be the characters that I, you know,
it's amazing.
Like, you know, grow up like consuming and things like that. Yeah. Style wise is something that is not lost on me. And when it comes to video game stuff, I actually had a fun conversation. A buddy of mine got a Switch over the holidays, and he was like talking about games, and I was like, you know what? Here's a bunch of awesome games you got to get. And I was like, you also have to get Modern Combat 5 because I'm the protagonist in that. And you can just run me out and kill me. Like,
wait, hear me die.
You can literally run me out and like purposefully die and get me shot and hear me scream. Like how?
Wait,
how
Modern Warfare?
Modern Combat 5. If you're mad, modern, it's a Game Loft version.
If you're so mad at your friend.
Combat 5, okay.
Yeah. Like how therapeutic for somebody like finally.
I'm upset with you.
I can
I'm
kill
killing
up
you.
Jake. And have and, him get murdered, and I can hear him.
How
I can.
About
I have
you?
The same. I have the same thing. It's very hard to kill me in GTA 5, but you can do it.
Oh wow!
And I have people that have been like, "It took me 37 hours to figure it out, but I finally blew your fucking ass up."
Do people send you like pictures or like videos?
Yes,
or anything?
Yes,
oh, it's so good.
Yeah, we were so psyched when we first ran him over in a car, like
literally
in GTA 5. Brendan and I. Yeah,
it's very nice to know that your friends care about you that much that they spend that kind of time to just try to kill you virtually.
I think what flatters them is that they had anticipated that his friends would attack Danny and wrote dialogue for it.
Yeah. Oh my
because he says, "Stop, cut it out. Stop trying to shoot. Stop, quit shooting me.
Quit it, Dad. Ow, that hurts."
That type of stuff.
It gave me goosebumps seeing the joy in people's faces here talking about being able to kill Danny in a video game.
It legitimately
warmed my heart.
That's true. People do
as
come up and share. They share their stories, which the only thing that we all have in common is this amazing sense of inner peace once we're able to kill Danny in a video game.
That's what we're going to do as soon as we're
and
done
if I can
here.
Give,
oh,
no. And if I can give that to people, then fucking A.
And it's not easy
mission
in GTA 5,
bro.
Because you're not supposed to die in GTA 5.
No, you have to get him to
like,
drink poison. It's
I'm
not easy.
Yeah. I'm a side piece. Yeah. I'm not a playable
No
character.
Way. You're my main squeeze.
We've always considered you our main squeeze. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I feel like it's extended some of my friendships, honestly, their ability to do that. You know what I mean? Like, to be able to go out there and, like,
it's a pressure valve. It's a pressure valve, bro.
Exactly.
Like, if I was friends with those, rest in peace, gang members that I was able to brick in the face on the Warriors game so many years ago.
I have no idea where you're going.
Me neither.
I know.
It's terrifying.
You've been a great fucking guest, Jake Paige. You've been really awesome.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I will believe you, even though all of my internal fears.
Roll a D1
are
for believe.
Still going?
Roll a
no,
D1 for
come
on. Roll a die for make a save for believability.
All right. That is no joke. That is a 20. That is a natural 20.
That's natural 20.
Believability.
That is a 20.
Thank you.
That is crazy.
Damn.
You know why?
You know what?
I didn't blink.
Yeah, throughout the whole show.
It works.
I promise you, Mike did not blink during the whole show.
It works.
God, that's amazing.
Jake, we are coming to an end here. You must have some plugs, some sort of. So, what are you working on these days?
Thanks, I appreciate that. I mean, for anybody that ever wants to get a hold of me, like I said, the best way to ping me is over Twitter at Jake Paik on Twitter at @JakePaque,
not Pack.
Got it. Not Pack. Not Jack Pack. Jake Paik. Just Jake Paik is good.
Jack Paik.
Jack Paik sounds like where you would get your garbage pail kids.
Jack Paik also sounds like a bunch of dudes who like to dumpster dive for porn.
Whoa! Wow! I should say, you know, in your defense,
Jack Paik. That's
in
amazing,
your defense, Jeremy.
That is amazing.
I have had people on shows
Jack
like
Paik me try to Jack Paik.
They try to
me.
Jack Paik me in the back. People who like did, you know, like they're doing like a digital show or something like that, like reviewing something I worked on. Definitely call me Jack Paik. But so it's
that could be your badass alter ego who does all the stuff you don't know.
Yeah,
the Jack Paik was me and my two buddies in seventh grade going behind Krausers
looking in the dumpster for porno
to get porno. No, a porno that was like a month old. They're like, oh well, No one's bought them. We got a whole new month of issues. Throw them in the back.
Time to throw them out with the shrink wrap still on them.
We dumpster dive in the back and be like, yes!
It's Bloodhound Gang with a bunch of young masturbators.
Oh, yeah!
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
It can be
the Jackpack.
My new pseudonym for when I do dirty audiobooks.
Yeah.
I
can, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My production team will be here the entire Jackpack.
Yeah, I'll get that email set up really quick.
Tonight on Skinemax, we have the Jackpack reviewing
6 till 9.
Two nights in Venice.
Maybe that's the new podcast we'll start here in the studio. Yeah, the Jackpack.
We review found porn.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be amazing. That would be incredible.
Well, we're all local guys, so let's start
let's start a porn podcast.
There's tons of bodegas and garbage cans.
Yeah, I mean, I've found when I was in college a whole bag of grocery bags full of gay porn, and I would take
different
the VHS
podcast.
Tapes to every party, and I would put them in the VCR and leave the party.
Holy cow!
And so that you know what I mean. So every party, we would just get rid of one of those tapes. But it's a great party favor. Great
Is this a
do.
Good time for me to plug the rest of my children's cartoon shows that I'm on?
Thanks, Jeremy.
Wait, can we just finish up on the Jackpack first, and then we'll go right into that?
Or if you have more masturbatory pornography stuff, we could do that before I plug the children's
All right,
shows. I work
moratorium.
On.
Well, before you know what, before we
okay,
made it into,
let's just take a break.
I'm pretty sure that you have to age into the Jackpack from the Winks Twinks.
I'd like to
if
just
you're stop not, it. If I'm gonna lose everything.
I just like to tell
everything I've worked for
that we're part of the Last Podcast Network,
and you should so blame you them should for everything that you hear tonight, not Jake.
No,
we've got
please.
A legal team. We've got a full legal team.
Yeah. Better budget.
Please finish your plug.
JK,
sorry about
please
that.
Please tell us all the cool kitty stuff you're doing.
Jeez. Well, Mike can't even stop himself. To you know, prevent a direct intersection, you can check out my IMDb to figure out what I'm working on. Jake Paik IMDb has got a bunch of cool stuff on there. I am on some shows for young audiences that are exciting.
If you
cool. there's not a person under 27 that listens to our podcast, so you're good.
They might leave it on at daycare.
Yeah,
it's true.
Or their kids might, you know, pick up on it. You never know. Our peak audience is 34, right? That's our 35. Yeah, that's the 90s Nickelodeon kids. So they probably have kids by now. So we're good.
That's true.
We're all good.
Sometimes people listen to this podcast in the car, and then the kids are like, "Daddy, what's a Jackpack?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, actually, I'll
never mind. We're going through the drive-thru now."
Yeah, shut your mouth and eat that Big Mac.
But
you mean anything from the dumpster kid?
Yeah. Like,
oh Lord. best guest ever.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh. Shucks.
Please come back, Jake. You can find this guy at D. Tamborelli on the Twitters, at Danny Tamborelli on Instas, at Michael C. Marona on the Twits. I'm at Remy Balin on the Twits, at Jeremy Balin on the Instagram. We're part of the Last Podcast Network. Check them out, lastpodcastnetwork.com. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/Danny and Mike, where you can watch videos of this episode right here. You can see the die
with the end spelled out,
the 20 sided die.
We have some live shows coming up in April with Mike and I.
Prove it.
And that's right.
We have some shows coming up in California. So go to nostalgiapersonified.com to check them all out.
It's an April Fool show with Pete and Pete edition. You're going to love it. Philadelphia, 4142 is Hard Rock Cafe in Boston.
Bangarang.
Also, next week we start California tour with Lori Beth Denberg. Come see us, nostalgiapersonified.com. Jake. For the love of God, this was so much fun. Come back.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Anytime, friends. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
awesome.
Jake Paik.
Jake Paik.
Bye.
Bye. The Adventures of Danny and Mike stars Danny Tamborelli and Michael C. Marona. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Baylor. This podcast is part of the Last Podcast Network, which can be found at lastpodcastnetwork.com. Make sure to check that out for a ton of great shows. For more information on the guys, visit our website at dannyandmike.com. Also, look us up on Twitter, at Danny and Mike with the N spelled out, and on Facebook at facebook.com/TheAdventuresOfDannyAndMike. Thanks for listening.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.